be here.
I will call the meeting to order, the Sussex County Council, October 6, 2009. The agendas have been presented to you. Are there any changes, Mr. Baker?
I do have one suggested change that pertains to the executive session. We do not have any items to present today.
No executive session?
Right.
Council members have any changes? If not, I'm entertaining a motion to approve the agenda.
Got it.
And a second?
Second.
A motion, a second, to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Approval of the minutes in your packets were September 15th and September 22nd. Are there any additions, changes, or modifications by council? If not, I will consider the minutes approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, I have one letter, and it is from Lorraine Zellers from the city of Rehoboth. And it is to Heather and Lauren, Heather Sheraton and Lauren George. Heather and Lauren, it was great meeting you both today. I think I can speak for all of us in thanking you for the tour and great information. Your operation is outstanding, and seeing it firsthand certainly will help me answer some of the tough questions that will be posed by our residents as far as safety and the quality of what is going out to the ocean and the level of treatment it undergoes beforehand. I appreciate that it took a chunk of time from your busy day, but I'm grateful that you're willing to do it. Kudos to you for doing such a great job. Yours is certainly a model to emulate. And that's the only letter I have, Mr. President.
Very good. Any council members have correspondence they'd like to share? If not, I'll turn the meeting over to County Administrator, Mr. David Baker.
Thank you. The first item I have is regarding our medical insurance plan, and it is regarding spousal coordination of benefits. And with us today, we have Mr. Dennis Cordry, the County Personnel Director. Last March, the County Council approved a recommendation to make changes to our county medical insurance program for employees. And one of the changes recommended to be effective January 1st is called spousal coordination of benefits. And this is a program which would require the spouses of employees that do have medical insurance offered by their employer to obtain that insurance for themselves. If the spouse would also like to have county insurance, then the county employee would have to pay the $140 per month to add the spouse to the county coverage. The main advantage of changing to that program would lower county costs because spouses would have primary coverage with their employer first. As far as disadvantage, it could provide a financial hardship for some employees whose spouse would be required to obtain coverage from his or her employer, and that coverage could be expensive or it may not be very comprehensive for the spouse. Also, we made considerable changes to our plan effective May 1st, and some of these changes already have increased costs to our employees for increases in co-pays and increased contributions towards their health insurance. A third item is the policy would be difficult to enforce. The personnel department would be responsible for ensuring that spouses with the option of medical insurance from another employer would obtain it. And then also savings estimates are difficult to calculate because of it just the differences in plans that spouses may have. We checked with our independent insurance consultant, Mr. Steve Fallon, and he has noted that the savings from spousal coordination or benefits would be at, to quote, the bottom of the list as far as effective cost savings. And he added that benefits of such a program are dwarfed by the costs, which are primarily negative public relations and administration of such a program, which is cumbersome. Thus, at this time, we're recommending that we're not recommending that we implement this change, which was to go in effect January 1st. It could be an option in the future to look at, but maybe with some caveats such as implementing a cost threshold for spouses or lower employee cost for spousal coverage. we wanted to bring that to your attention and for possible discussion or consideration today.
Mr. Baker has brought to council's attention a point that was a bit of a point of contention with the employees. Mr. Baker, as you know, is a very sensitive county administrator, unlike his predecessor. No. If there is no objection from the council, I believe that we would fully back your recommendation on that.
Okay. I do have a motion. I
okay.
appreciate it. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council agrees not to implement the spousal coordination of benefit program at this time as recommended by administration.
So move you.
Is there a second, please?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the recommendation regarding the spousal coordination of benefits as read by Mr. Baker. Any discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
I am abstaining on this one until I know more about this.
Okay. Mr. Vincent?
I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Baker.
Thank you. The next item is our payroll pay schedule. And with us today, we have Ms. Gina Jennings, our director of the accounting department, and of course, Susan Webb, our finance director, and Dawn Brazier, who actually handles a lot of our payroll duties in the accounting department, plus, of course, Dennis Cordray in the personnel department, who also is very active with payroll. The county finance department currently pays employees on two different payroll cycles. We are recommending to try to combine these pay cycles into one bi-weekly cycle so that first we would save administrative costs. And our pay schedule for non-paramedic employees is to pay on the 15th and the 30th of the month. We are recommending that the county change that schedule for non-paramedics to a bi-weekly schedule to match up with a paramedic's pay schedule. The paramedics are paid every other Friday, and we currently pay paramedics 26 times a year, other county employees 24 times a year. Taking into account that some paydays fall coincidentally on the same day, the accounting division now processes payroll 46 different times per year. Mrs. Jennings has estimated approximately $12,000 per year in savings administration in processing 26 pays per year versus the current 46 pays per year. So basically this proposal would match us up to the paramedic schedule. The accounting division is currently operating with 9.25 employees versus the 11 full-time employees that were in the previous fiscal 2009 budget, and this would enable the accounting division to continue with a reduced staff level. Another advantage of biweekly pay is that employees would know that they would be paid every other week, and they would have fewer extended time periods between paydays. For instance, in this coming May, if there is no change made, then our regular employees would be paid on May 28th, and then after that on June 18th. There would be 18 days between pays. So the proposal to change to the biweekly schedule would be effective in April when it would match up. And this change would then also enable employees to make payroll deduction changes in Delaware or in January as per our IRS regulations for non-taxable benefits. The disadvantage of changing payroll is that the individual net paychecks will be less because county will pay employees every other Friday 26 times per year versus 24 times per year. A typical paycheck based on 26 instead of 24 pays could be $100 less in net pay. But we do want to emphasize that there's no change in gross salaries. It's just how the pay is structured. Another item is that some employees plan their personal finances based on regular pays on the 15th and 30th. So they would have to make changes to their personal finances to take
David,
care of that.
I'm confused. I'm not smart enough, but
It'll come out $100 less, even though it's everything's.
Well, we're adding, like, we would pay every other Friday.
And so we're adding two pays per year.
So will we actually know
how much an employee gets less? I mean, will is there somebody smart enough to figure out exactly if it's $75 or $86?
Yes.
Is there something that you would know? I mean, at the end of the year, we would have an idea what people didn't get? Because I hate to cut them. I mean, is it a way then we could then in the budget
It's not really, it's not a reduction. The gross salary is the same.
It's all the same.
For instance, like the council, our county council receives a set salary, and we would divide that by 26 pays per year, and you would receive, you know, a lesser amount per pay, but you have two more pays per year. Because you're getting paid every other week.
All right.
Instead of,
I guess. I'll have to think about it a while.
Now, we can, as you suggested, if an employee wants to know, well, how much will my pay be if I go biweekly, we can run that, and we've done some of that for some employees that have asked about it.
And the only reason we're saving money is because we're going to be making the check out the same time as the paramedics and those get those checks.
Right.
So it'll all be the same all together. That's the only reason, right?
That's it. Yeah.
It's more efficient.
Are you going to make a motion to that?
Let's see if there's any other discussion. Ms. Deaver,
do you understand this one? We got an email about it, and in fact, I responded back. I thought it was a good idea to do that if we're saving money.
Okay. Mr. Vincent?
I think it's fine as long as we're going to do it right away. I think it's a bad idea because people do have plan to pay their payment a certain time, but you should give them a lot of time if they're not able to make those changes. So if it makes sense for them to do it, it's fine. Yeah.
Mr. Wilson? Sounds good. Mr. Cole, you have any other questions?
No.
All right.
Don't want to sound any dumber than I already.
I would like to see us not have to spend the money we do. When we make direct deposits, we send out these fancy documents that look like a check. And, you know, it just seems like an awful lot of paperwork that really, I don't know if
it's necessary. Non-negotiable check?
Yeah, that non-negotiable check. That's an awful lot of paperwork. Maybe in the future we could look at cutting down on that expense.
Yeah, that is something we could look at. I know the state of Delaware recently, in the last month or so, changed so that they're all by email. They receive their copy of their check stub by email.
Okay. Have you got?
I'm certainly sure our people are able to do that by email. That's the best way to do it.
Should we call Ms. Jennings up to see if she can do that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's all right, Gina. Mr. Baker, if you'd like to read that motion.
Okay. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the implementation of a biweekly payroll schedule effective April 16, 2010.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the motion read by Mr. Baker changing the payroll schedule. Any further discussion? Not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. And the next item is a suggestion as brought up by Councilwoman Mrs. Deaver. And this is a recommending a change in the scheduling of public hearings scheduled by the County Council for change of zone and conditional uses. And Mr. Lank and Mr. Robertson are here. Mr. Robertson typically represents the County Planning and Zoning Commission. Currently, our Planning and Zoning Commission holds a public hearing on Thursday for conditional uses and zoning changes. The commission must vote within 45 days of their own public hearing. The Planning and Zoning Department then schedules a county council hearing approximately 19 days after the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. Occasionally, the county council hearing is held before the P&Z Commission recommendation is made. One, Mrs. Deaver suggested that we change the public hearing schedule to hold a county council hearing 60 days after the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. We believe we could possibly reduce that to 47 days, but the council would then hold their hearing after the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. This would add, by going to 47 days, this would add approximately 28 days or 4 weeks to the current schedule. to prevent delays for smaller requests, the policy could be limited to change zones or conditional uses for more than 5 acre, for projects on more than 5 acres in size. And we could also leave some discretion with the Planning and Zoning Director. We do want to mention that occasionally the Planning and Zoning Commission does not act on a zoning change or conditional use within the 45 days. They may be waiting for some additional information, but normally they handle that within a week or two of the 45 days. So with that, I'll...
we'll open the floor for discussion, Ms. Deaver.
Well, a lot of people have asked me why the council is having a hearing on a certain item when they haven't had the vote yet from the Planning and Zoning Commission. And many, many people have asked me the question, and I got to thinking about it, and it seems that with respect for the Planning and Zoning Commission and all the work they do, I just think that it would be better to have our hearings after we know what their recommendation is. And people have asked that they would have time to read in the paper what the decision was before they go to county council hearing on the item. That's why I'm asking for 60 days. And as far as scheduling smaller applications applications for, say, an acre and a half or 2 acre project differently, I don't know that that would might be a little confusing. Mr. Lank sometimes likes to put an application that's not expected to take too much time along with one that does. I remember this last week we had that. But sometimes those smaller applications draw more attention. I mean, they can draw quite a lot of attention from the public. And I know that it's a long process to get land rezoned or conditional use, but the public isn't brought in until the end when the Planning and Zoning Commission meets and then the council meets. And so I'm asking on behalf of the public for extra time between the two hearings.
Okay. Do any other council member have comments?
You've got a memo here, Lawrence, to us about 47 days or something you referenced and some other, or Dave, I mean, it's from Dave, right? Could somebody just share some of your, what would be the negatives of doing it? Like, for instance, from your point of view as a director, Lawrence? I don't really have any problem with it. There's a lot of little small
ones. It's
time. Huh?
It's time.
It's just a little extra time. Right. Well, and it affects the applicant more than anybody else, right?
The best scenario as far as the advertising is that to be advertised at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
When their schedule is would be based on that advertisement. That way that you don't get into the mailing, double mailings and double mailings to the resident, double mailing to the applicant. It all goes out at one time.
Mm-hmm. So that would be more efficient?
That's what we do now.
Oh, that's what you do.
The hearings are closer together.
Yeah, calls us more
and if we add, if you add additional hearings and don't and send a mailing out after the commission recommendation, then you've got another problem with extended. It'd be more extension of time.
No, you would still schedule them in advance.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's a negative. That would be a negative if you did that. You schedule them at the same time. They get advertised at the same time. The public notices are in the paper. The applicant gets public notice. The people within 200 feet or whatever distance gets public notice, and they have a copy of both at the same time. So they know that the commission hearing a certain date and the council hearing a certain date. It's not going to be any different.
Just
could
be
still,
a
you could still
time.
Do that, but make it 60 days in between.
I'm just saying. I'm saying I don't have a problem with
it. No problem.
So in other words, we could still do...
60 days or 47, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We could
mm-hmm.
still follow your same format,
right.
Except instead of the number of days we use now, we would extend it to 60 days so that we would... What she's saying, we would hopefully have... And a recommendation. If they don't have a recommendation, we can take action on it anyway, correct?
You can hear it.
Huh?
You can hear it.
Hear it and vote on it.
You could, but typically when the commission makes a recommendation and it goes over 45 days, it's because we have specifically asked for something that we need to make that decision. So we're basically saying we need more time, and we've done it. We've done it.
Right.
Probably not more than 10 times in the last 20 years.
Okay, when that happens, that means we still can't vote on it, correct?
If you accept the fact that they've asked for something specifically.
Right.
You can still vote on it.
We could still.
But you don't. typically you've honored it because they've asked for something that they need.
Right, right, right. I understand that.
Something technical. We need something from Plus. We need something from Del Dot.
But the ordinance basically says after 45 days we can take action, whether they've got the record still open or not. No matter what they do down there, we could take action. So
the law, the regulation says that the council can act after 45 days from the commission public hearings because they can assume that it's approved.
Right.
And we haven't had to do that. I don't remember.
No, I don't remember ever doing that either. But I'm just saying that there is that loophole in there that we could do it if we wanted to. Good. We could ignore it.
But you've got the people coming in for the planning and zoning hearing. Then they want to come in if planning and zoning hasn't voted. Then they want to come in for the planning and zoning vote. Then they come in for the county council hearing. Then they come in for the county council vote. It's just an awful lot. And I just think it would be simpler if they knew what planning and zoning had decided to do.
There is another little side to that, that some of the opposition doesn't come to the commission because they don't want the applicant to know what their opposition is until they get to council. Mm-hmm. That where there's no rebuttal of what they said is opposition.
There's a little bit.
That's happened quite a few times, more recently.
The number of days between isn't really going to affect
right.
that.
Ever, you have anything you could share with us from your point of view as the attorney?
Yes.
Are you familiar with our...
Yes. One of the concerns that I have, I think it is worthy that for discussion that the public's right to know, but you also have to look at the applicant's rights too, and many of the court cases refer to applicant's rights, and one of the things that the applicant is entitled to that we need to consider is the length of time, because right now an applicant could be a mom and pop operation, could take up to 2 years by the time they initially start out with the highway request, wait for that to get back, then they apply with planning and zoning, and then by the time it goes through the hearings, maybe it gets bumped because of, you know, other things that are expedited hearings. And some, just for mom and pop operations, have been taking 2 years, and we're looking at adding additional time for those. I think it might be better if you actually look at some way of carving out those items that are those specific ones that tend to be controversial, because that's what's brought this to the forefront.
Yeah, there'll always be some smaller one that will be controversial every right. now and then, but that's rare.
But that's rare.
Right. Is it possible then to just say what if we went to the 60-day format that just condition? Maybe conditional uses in RPCs.
You could,
not so much a change of zone.
Right. You could carve out those type of things. Maybe for example, once before you carved out, you made exception for big box stores and boxes. Right. You could carve out your exception with a longer notice for those. You know, certain things that tend to have the controversy, and that still keeps it quicker for the.
Last question, Mr. President, would be. To do this, we would have to change our ordinance, correct?
Right now, there is nothing in an ordinance that indicates, the method of hearing.
It's at our discretion, isn't it?
But wait, should it be?
I'm not sure that it needs to be. And you could actually, when an ordinance is introduced even, possibly if that's the type of item that appears that it might be controversial, someone could make a motion that it be given longer notice at that time. So that way it still stay at the current length of time. And then if you made a motion that this one appears when I introduce it, that appears...
There are times...
We don't always know.
Yeah. Right. Folks, there are times when I've come in and we're having a hearing and planning and zoning has not made any recommendation. And I kind of said, it'd be nice if I didn't know what they were thinking, to help me maybe with my decision making or whatever. And there is some merit to what she's saying. I don't know. What's anybody else think? Maybe on just some of them, I think whatever it is saying, try to pull out the ones that are typically require that, and then the discretion of our director could maybe say this one because of where it's location or whatever.
It's actually easier if they're all the same.
All the same. Okay.
Yeah. We get a report.
Right now, there's not the backlog's not there that it was there 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Might not be for
right now.
Ago.
We're about to jump over a lot of the ones that were expedited 6 or 8 months ago, so we're going to get to a shorter time frame.
I can say we're
probably less than a year right now. Once an application came today, it would be less than a year to get her, and it's going to be quicker than that as we catch up.
Hope so.
Because I'm not getting an application.
And it's not so much the county holds things up, it's a lot of times it's the state, getting the state per.
Well, if it's an application for rezoning or conditional use, we have to have that state and necessarily DLDOT's comments before we can take the application. So it's not a delay on our part.
On our part,
as
right.
far as the application.
More the state agencies.
We can't take the application until DLDOT's responded.
Well, we get a report from planning and zoning before we have the hearing, but the public doesn't have any idea. I think it's just for the public. Over and over again, I keep getting asked, why are you hearing this when planning and zoning hasn't voted? And so, you know.
I've actually had people tell me that they didn't come to our immediate hearing because the planning and zoning hadn't made a decision, so they didn't think they were having it or something. There is confusion.
I've heard
people,
that too.
People who've moved in from other areas are used to other, you know, ways of doing things, and we've got our way. So, maybe it's something. Could you come back maybe, Lawrence, with a recommendation?
How many biggies do we really have, you know, a year? Like L&T and...
Well, we've had four in a row. Well, four meetings in a row. You've got something that's controversial.
All in my district.
Yours are about half of the applications, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably have a half a dozen this year?
You've had, well, like I just said, in the last four meetings in a row, you've had something controversial.
How many have we had this year? Those were the four, right?
No, more than that. I'd have to sit down and count them.
All right.
But yeah, you're going to have at least average probably one a month.
I don't remember anybody in here like they were last week, this year.
Well, if you want to talk about what we had at the Arbor's of Cottage or the or LT Associates, then you're going to, that's a different kind of application. That's major.
Pelican
but there's still
Landing.
Smaller ones that are controversial.
Pelican Landing and Baker. And,
oh, they keep going around and around. Yeah. That's right.
Well, before we spend any staff time, is there any consensus to address it or not? I don't have any problem with it.
I'm with our attorney here on, we have to have consideration for the applicants. I mean, after all, we just stall.
But I don't think Everett, but Sam, I don't think Everett did say that 60 days was excessive. I don't think anybody has come up with 60 days is excessive.
You can make it 70 if you want to. Why the magic number of 60?
Oftentimes we defer or we leave the public record open for specific items, and that overlaps with that 45-day period of planning and zoning. It could easily be that 45-day goes by, and then we have our hearing, and then we have to leave the record open for additional information. It could easily be a lot more than just 60 days. 60
most
more days.
Over 60.
It could be.
I guess one thing that comes to mind, if I could have the floor, we don't vote until we have planning and zoning's findings and recommendations. And it would seem that the application should be argued on the merits of the application. And those facts are presented both at planning and zoning and to county council, and then the public has the opportunity after both those times to air their opinion. If it's simply the findings of planning and zoning and the recommendations, does it then become the public debating planning and zoning and their thought process? And is that appropriate? Or is this a process which should be focused on the applicant's presentation rather than necessarily the thoughts of planning and zoning?
Those are the people, Vance, we put down there to give us this. Yeah. I mean, they're the pros. Basically, they're the ones that deal with it more than we do, and they're the ones that bring us the recommendation. We have to, unless you're saying we don't need planning and zoning. A lot of people think we don't.
We are to consider that. I agree, does it turn into basically a public debate of planning and zoning's thought process and recommendations?
It never has seemed
to me to be the focus of these hearings should be a debate between planning and zoning's logic.
Well, I don't think that's what she's saying.
That's the only reason it would seem to me that we would want to delay it. Unless everything else is on the table, the applicants.
Yeah, they're the body that gives us advice,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's and which I think she's pointing out and whatever is that it'd be nice when we hear that when we're hearing their presentation, we've also heard the mm-hmm. advice of our Planning and Zoning Commission. I've always thought that I would like to have had years ago. I made points that it'd be nice to have. Staff recommendations and the commission's recommendation. We have Lawrence, he has his group down there, professional planners and everything else. I'd like to have had his point of view, planning his own commission, which are laymen who are listening to it, And then, you know, then we'd make our decision based on all this input.
Well, we always,
and I think we'd get a better decision.
We never make our opinion. We never take a vote before we have all that.
Right.
You're saying you'd like to have all that before we even heard the applicant?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind having it on a table that we could look at. I could be listening to the applicant. I could be listening to the opposition. I could be listening to everything. And I could also be listening to planning and zoning's recommendations. There's three parts to it. And I think all three parts could be in front of me while I'm listening.
Are you saying planning and zoning should influence your vote?
Honey, we appoint them. That's what they're part of. They are part of the process. It's called a planning and zoning commission that gives us recommendations. We can't make a move. Wait, we're not supposed to make a decision until we get the recommendation. So don't let it make it sound like they're not important.
It's like saying planning and zoning is not a safety check valve, or we're not a safety check valve because if we're going on planning and zoning recommendations only.
No, we're not.
I didn't say we had to vote what they said. I'm just saying
we should.
Well, you better be careful because you're getting close to it.
Well, don't go putting words in my mouth, Sammy.
Mr. Moore, does the public have a right to know what planning and zoning has voted before they go to county council hearings?
I don't think there's that right to know.
No right?
No. I've not seen any case that indicates that the public has a right to know before there's a hearing with planning and zoning.
So then what's the purpose of planning and zoning?
Have a hearing and make a recommendation to county
keep
council.
Keep Vince
But that's public information. That's public information.
But you asked, is there a right to know from a legal standpoint before the hearing itself? And you're allowed to have the hearings. There's never been a challenge in my knowledge of the fact that you have the hearings prior to having a recommendation.
If I'm not mistaken, some counties actually have, they don't have a commission like of appointed personnel. They have basically staff recommendations. They have a professional planning and zoning group, right? That
staff can deny in some places.
Huh?
Staff has a right to deny because it's based on
land. Right. There's so many different ways you can skin the cat. Like I said, I wouldn't mind having planning and zoning commission's recommendations. I wouldn't mind having staff recommendations if you really want to get this, you know, a nice even playing field where everybody is taking parts at it. Because Lawrence many times has stood there and said the commission has said this. It may be different from what Lawrence thinks.
Right.
Who is our planning? The guy we put in charge of our planning and zoning. So sometimes we don't even get Lawrence's opinion because he's had to defer to the commission. Is that not correct?
Many times I've told the council
you've had to bite your tongue.
I'm here representing the commission and their recommendation, and that's all I'm here for.
And I think that's a weakness in our whole process. So, Mike, how did you do it in Seaford? Did they have anything? What was their process?
Planning and zoning had a hearing,
mm-hmm.
and then they made a recommendation to council. And then council had another hearing, and then acted on.
Okay, you didn't have.
The issue is, though, George, I think, in city government, unless you're expanding, everything in the town is already zoned. It's got commercial. It's got this. Right. We did zero land use. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as changing zone, that kind of stuff. What concerns me, listening to the conversations with Lawrence and with Everett's input and you guys, is. If we have a controversial application, we walk in here and we have a book that thick. So we're going to add time now on the hearings, and there's no way in the world I'm going to sit here and have a book that thick in front of me that I can't even read that night and make a decision that night.
Oh, no.
So you're going to, now the 60 days, we're still going to be well beyond that in making a decision. And I guess that just... I need to think about that. This concerns me that we're going
to
add.
All we're trying to do is establish when to schedule.
That's all.
I understand that. But you've got to post the schedule. You've got to advertise it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to advertise at the same time and schedule.
Sure.
Dates are
so you're going to have. What I'm saying is you're going to advertise a thing, and you're going to pick 60 days after they're going to hear it in planning and zoning to advertise our hearing.
Between the hearings.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what's proposed.
So we're going from 45 to 60. That's 2 weeks now we're adding on it.
No, we don't have 45 right now.
We have 19 right now.
We have 19. We don't even have a month.
But we're still going to add more time on the end of it because we're going to have to read this book. That takes...
Yeah, the commission.
I hope nobody in this room is going to sit here and tell me that we have a hearing like we had last week. and you walk in this room at 6 o'clock, there's a book that thick in front of you, and that you can read that book while the hearing is going on and make a decision that night.
No, that's impossible. We're not talking about that.
It's impossible. So we're still adding more time. But my concern is the time.
Well, we can still defer. We can still defer.
Anyway, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we just maybe Lawrence and Everett take 5 minutes and hash this out, what you've heard from us. See if there's any kind of, if there's any thoughts. And Vint, you could chime in, because you watch the process. Anything we could do to make it better, more efficient?
It's the overlap.
I would be supportive of, because I don't know if the way we do it is the best way you could do it. Without some subtle changes, could we make it better? I'd go for it.
Just to prevent the overlap, that's the problem.
Well, there's a lot of things. I'd still like to have Lawrence's opinion. He's been around a long time.
Yes, he has.
He might know something.
Well, we had an opinion,
He might know something we don't know.
Well, I think he gave us one. The 47-day. Wasn't that your opinion, the 47-day, and that to carve out the little one, the little applications? Wasn't that your Mr. Baker, you just read.
The only difficulty I said about carving out the little ones,
mm-hmm.
then you're creating a situation where you're advertising some one way and other ones
right.
another way.
Maybe.
It's easier to keep them all in the same boat.
Right.
You think keeping consistent but have 47?
Whatever we come up with, it should be the same for everybody. So
okay,
we don't,
I agree with that.
Right,
yeah.
So we don't get into that. If there's a way we can change, if you have any ideas, maybe just bring them forth in a memo in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know if Mr. President or anybody has any problem with that.
No, I think
just that's perfect. It's a good debate. Anytime we can do something to do better.
Well, we were talking about this was then for next year anyway, wasn't next week.
Well, but we're already scheduling for next year.
We're in November now.
I mean, there's a reason I would assume that in the next couple of weeks, for example, that Lawrence and Vince and Everett and Dave could not come back to us with some kind of a recommendation if they see a way of making this thing smoother and more efficient.
And I want to thank the president for putting this on the agenda. I appreciate that very much. I've had so many questions. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for your time.
Paybacks are heck. Mr. Baker, administrator's report.
So, three quick items. The Sussex County Airport Committee will meet on Wednesday, October 7th, at the West Complex building on DuPont Boulevard at 6 p.m. One item to be discussed will be the proposed airport policies. A foreclosure prevention seminar. A foreclosure prevention seminar will be held from 3 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, October 8th at the Carlisle Fire Company in Milford. The Sussex County Community Development and Housing Division continues to co-host and assist with this program. County holiday. County offices will be closed October 12th in honor of Columbus Day. And they will reopen on Tuesday, October 13th at 8:30 a.m. The County Council will hold its normally scheduled meeting at 3 p.m. Next Tuesday.
Question on this foreclosure prevention seminar. Is that county-sponsored?
We co-sponsor it with the state of Delaware.
State, okay. Because I was just wondering, Milford, are they doing it in a couple different locations?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Upstate and Milford's the downstate?
Several different locations in Sussex County.
Oh, in Sussex. Okay, good. Because Milford seemed pretty far from a...
Well, Carlisle Fire Company is in Kent County, by the way.
Yeah.
That's correct. Thank you. I didn't know that.
Our community development office has participated in a number of these seminars.
Okay, but there'll be some more down closer to southeastern Sussex County and central South Sussex County and southwestern Sussex County. All right.
I can add something if you'd like.
Mr. Guy.
Just for reference, there have been some meetings held in Millsboro, Laurel, anywhere else that you can think of. It's those five targeted zip codes that we noted, that Community Development and Housing noted several months ago that had the higher foreclosure rates in the county. So the community meetings are held within those targeted zones.
Don't I have the highest?
My
district has the highest.
Not you,
heard
of the
county.
I'll be at a Lewis
Mr.
event.
Mr. Godwin.
You're probably the highest.
I'll be at a Lewis event that night, so I can't come to that.
Sir, Mr. President, members of council, this afternoon I have one wastewater agreement for your consideration. This agreement is proposed by developer Gary McCray from Lewis, Delaware, and the location is Sussex County Road, number 299. This will be part of the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, servicing just six single-family lots. The total connection charges will come to $20,478. We have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC, and we're expecting 5 days of construction, with a total construction administration and construction inspection cost of $1,979.55. We are expecting the construction cost to total $13,197. A small project. I have a motion for you. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 820-1, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Dyer McCray Ventures, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in the Long Neck Shores part of Phase 3, located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion and a second to approve the wastewater agreement as read by Mr. Godwin. Any discussion? Now we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you,
Mr. Godwin. Lawrence Lank, old business.
See, let's write. Can we handwrite it in?
I just saw the old. I'm sorry.
On September 22nd of 2009, the council held a public hearing on the application of two applications, actually, on for Rick Banning for what was called the Arbors at Cottagedale. And at the conclusion of the public hearing, action was deferred, and this is in my wording, not to what the council actually said. And the record was left open for 2 weeks to allow council to determine what additional information they may like to request, if any. And I've had written some comments to Mr. Vincent, and that's the only request I've had for information.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else had any.
All right.
Think they wanted a request from agencies or individuals or whatever.
We were looking for what, from school district?
No, you weren't specific.
No, okay. Well,
we left the record open, as often happens in
right.
these controversial hearings, which extended it 2 weeks and could it easily.
But we didn't give them any. We didn't give them any direction
no.
2 weeks ago. Now you're asking for the direction
mm-hmm.
based on your deferral.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I am. It is apartments, right? And it's part of it's this moderately income or moderately priced stuff, right? I wouldn't mind giving.
That's actually the rental program in this case, rather than a moderately priced house.
Okay, rental program. Rent. That's right, the rental program. I wouldn't mind getting going to the school and making another shot at trying to get some comments from the school on this.
Is that the only agency that didn't respond?
Well, the agency that we sent specific notice to is the Office of State Planning Coordination, because they coordinate with all the state agencies and the county agencies, the school district, and the fire marshal, or not fire marshal, fire company in that district.
Mm-hmm. Did
they would
respond?
Be the two that didn't respond.
Did not respond.
Right. The Office of State Planning Coordination through their the PLUS process and working with the through the PLUS process basically said they had no objection.
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
well,
you had the fire company and the school was for comments that you just didn't receive, direct comments.
Right. But I thought the whole thing of our, when we closed the meeting that night, was it was giving anybody on council who had questions 2 weeks.
To whatever you wanted
to find out what you wanted to know. So we had
right.
2 weeks.
That's right.
Right.
Exactly
right. Right. But
and today's, and it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember everything else, but the school did bother me because I think that this type of housing will bring in additional, you know, children, and it does. When you hear about these schools complaining about their, you know, overcrowdedness and et cetera, well, it'd be nice to get some comments. So I think if we could try to get some comments from them, I'd appreciate it.
Yep, I've been to plus meetings on projects in that very close to that area, and when the school did respond recently, they said they can't handle it.
Well, the response you're getting most time at plus isn't from the school directly; it's from the State Board of Education.
Education, right?
Mm-hmm. They're commenting on behalf of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they don't know, but they're not. You're not getting a rate from the local mm-hmm. school district.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I thought the historical issue with the graves and the historical division of the state was pretty well covered. And I think Department of Natural Resources, we all know what kind of site it was, what was happening there, and the concerns. I don't know if we need anything else there, right? And the fire company, obviously, it's in a fire district. They'll service it. They got Yeah, they got substations everywhere. State police. But anyway, the only thing I could think of is just we ought to have to make the record complete school input, but I don't know if anybody else could think of anything else.
Fire department.
How long do you propose that we leave the record open for that information?
Was the school notified?
School was notified, fire company was notified.
Those two agencies, Sam, for some reason have a reluctance, unless you really pry them, to make comments. Well, and I don't know if it's because it goes to a certain individual in some office and it doesn't get to the school board. I don't know what. I think we ought to address it to the president of the school board. And I don't know. Who do we address that to, by the way? Maybe that's a question I have to ask.
Well, most all the schools have superintendents, so you send it to the superintendent. whatever title school, he has.
Can the school make a difference in our judgment on this?
Well, it's part of the quality of life type of legislation. We're supposed to look at all that stuff as when we make a decision. We shouldn't be approving development that
impacts. We've looked at everything but the school, right?
Well, I'm just saying left out.
So you're saying the school is going to make the difference in your opinion on this thing now?
It might give me another reason to vote in a certain direction. Okay.
Well, can't we close the thing with the exception of...
Yeah, that'd be fine. Exactly.
Allowing I think two more weeks for a comment from the. Who's going to get this information? Because obviously, if we send a letter, it's going to get no response I've got before.
If we get no response, that'll be the answer.
There's a little bit of difference. In the public hearing process, they get a public notice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When they get a letter, they will typically respond.
Okay.
It's just a.
It's a letter that's easy to generate and just tell them basically what's proposed so they have more information. Okay. And they respond to that information through their superintendent.
Like if you see what goes at it, it is just like what you see in the paper, mm-hmm. like a legal description, right, of the application or something.
Basically, that's what it is.
So it
doesn't say respond or something. A lot of these people just don't think they're supposed to be responding. But
also, the way things are worded, that when those notices go out, people half the time don't have a clue as to where the thing is. It's just the ancient kind of wording that we're using.
But the school, if we're going to make it mandatory, the school responds. Why don't we just right up front send them a letter, say we want to hear your comments about this project?
Yeah, maybe we ought to
We talked about that before. We can do that up front, and then if they don't respond, you consider they don't object.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll make a motion that Mr. Lank start. He changes the policy on when he notifies the schools and fire companies to change the type of letter, actually make it a request for comments.
Shouldn't we deal with the issue on the agenda first, is that exact
for this application?
Yeah.
I believe Mr. Vinson has a motion. Mr. Vinson?
I'd like to make a motion that we close the our public hearing on change of zone number 1687 and conditional use number 1845, with the exception that we allow two more weeks for a response from the school district, which I assume is
Caitlin
School District.
Yeah. And,
point of clarification, please, Ms. Deaver. You said close the public hearing. I believe it's
close the public record.
Record. Okay, thank you.
The record.
I stand corrected.
Yes.
That's fine. And is that a second, Ms. Deaver?
It's a second, but I have a question. The fire department has not responded, Mr. Lank?
Has not.
Has not responded?
No, has not.
Your chance to call him, Jim.
I don't know. Is there any?
Okay, we've got a motion and a second on the floor to close the public record.
Maybe another motion.
With the exception of asking the school for their comment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is within, did you give a time limit on that?
2 weeks.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Well, the only discussion I have is that this particular application has one road in and the same road out, and Lewis Fire Department has not responded. So I would think that would be important. But I certainly the
the motion is good as it is, but it's incomplete.
Is there any other comments?
I second the motion.
We've got a second already. We'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes.
And then I would like to make a motion. If it needs a motion, and tell me if it does, or we can just get a consensus, if Mr. Lank will change the nature of the notification to
policy
schools.
Policy already noted.
Thank you. Schools and fire companies.
Yes,
both.
Policy already noted. Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Lank.
Thank you. Thank you. That'll make things a little better.
There you go. We're making progress.
Grant request, Ms. Webb.
Tonight, New Hope Recreation and Development.
And yes. Whose district is that?
They're asking for help with their after school program. Mm-hmm. $1,000.
They're asking for $1,000.
Where is New Hope?
In Ellendale.
Ellendale.
We have representatives here. So.
Ellendale. Would you like to come up, Mayor Price?
Come on up, tell us something.
And your entourage.
They got $1,000 last year.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's the one who's going to give you the money, so talk right to her.
Oh, no, they're all.
I can focus.
Yeah.
It was Lynn.
Well, the only thing I want to say is I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to make our case. I am very new to this community service process, and I'm very, as I said, very happy. But we're trying to build off of the success that we had this summer. We had a summer program, and we had up to 25 kids. And we had certified teachers, some retired, some still working, that come in and work with very young people who, quite frankly, are 2-3 grade levels below where they should be. And from the beginning of the program to the end of the program, it was just amazing to see the changes in attitude, their concept of learning and education. And we hope to do the same thing with our after-school program. Give them an opportunity to supplement the education that they're receiving in school and provide them with an opportunity to have some degree of success in an environment that's warming, comfortable, and secure. And that we're going to use the money to buy supplies, to buy books, to buy materials that'll help them as soon as they walk into the door.
So it's 25 plus or minus kids average?
Yes. And they range in from second grade all the way to high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we've been cut in half, and our funds, our council funds, have been cut in half. But I could donate $700 towards this.
Put me in for three, and that'll make it $1,000.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a motion and a second to give $700 from Ms. Deaver, $300 from Mr. Cole. Any discussion?
We have West Side New Beginnings, and they do a good job.
Okay.
Take the vote. Ms.
Thank
Deaver?
Thank you.
Ms. Mm-hmm. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time.
That's it. All right. We have proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore?
Yes, we do have one, and the short title, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 9.33 acres, more or less.
Yes.
Is that you, Ms. Deaver?
Barry Baker, was it Barry Baker?
Yes, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'll introduce it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other business brought before council by the council? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second? All in favor, say aye.
Wait.
Oh, just a minute.
I'm not sure if there's someone here for additional business. Get out till late.
Is there anybody who's got anything on their mind tonight that they'd like to talk to us about?
That's a wide open. That's your
okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
I got a grab.
That was a quickie.